Well, I'm going to try to make 3 points this morning, and hopefully they'll make sense. It's always a challenge. We have this gospel story that, again, is very familiar to us. And sometimes with these familiar stories from the scripture, we can miss some of the things that are, in a sense, obvious. We have these characters. We have Mary and Joseph, and we have Jesus, and we have the shepherds that are mentioned all in this passage. Three of those groups, Joseph, Mary, and the shepherds, all had some kind of event that took place in their life where they had some kind of message delivered to them by the angel. Again, the word angel is messenger. So there's somehow this message or these messengers that are sent some kind of a word or a message to these three different groups. Joseph was told not to be afraid of taking Mary as his wife. He was also told later to take Mary and Jesus and flee the Judea area and go into Egypt where they went into exile. Mary was told about the birth of Jesus by the angel Gabriel. The shepherds were told about Jesus' birth, and then they went to see what they had been told. And often in the kind of the whitewashing, the sanitation of these angels or these messages that come to people, we think that it's sort of all warm and fuzzy and nice and it was real clear. Personally, I don't think so. I think that sometimes in the story, we I make it so clear that it was just obvious to these people what was going on. And I don't think it was. You know, I think that many of us, myself included, get messages from God that are not really always that clear. The response, at least we know from Mary and the shepherds, was they were afraid. You know, what is all of this about? Now, I understand that piece. Sometimes stuff happens in my life, or I get a message, or I get a direction, and I'm afraid. I don't know what it means, what's going on in my life. Now, in the introduction that Steve read about the liturgy, it talked about love and the love of family and how we learn to love and those kinds of things. And it's interesting to me that what happened, particularly with the shepherds, when they got this message, was they went to see Jesus. They had to meet Jesus. They went to Bethlehem. I think that's something that we all have to do. That's my first point, by the way. If you get a message, if you get something clear, if there's something on your heart, if God is somehow involved in your life, the purpose of that is for you to go and meet Jesus. As Christians, there isn't anything more important than that for us to come into relationship with Christ, because that's the keystone. That's the touch point that makes everything else in our life make sense. Without the shepherds going to meet Jesus, none of that would have made sense. Without Mary saying yes to God and this whole thing about being the mother of God and the rest, without Jesus, none of that, you know, without Jesus, none of this stuff makes any sense. And I offer to you that the struggles that we have gone through in 2016 and potentially look forward to in 2017, none of that makes any sense without the power and the presence of Jesus in our life. Makes no sense. Because we are people of faith. Now, as I said, Steve read about love and the love of family, and I present to you in the midst of this, and we know that Mary, it says Mary treasured all these things in her heart. And actually later on it says that a sword will pierce your heart. And we can only imagine, and some of you unfortunately have experienced this, as a mother, the loss of a child. There's nothing that pierces a mother's heart more than that. And that is something that Mary experienced. You know, those of you that are mothers that have lost a child, you know that experience that Mary had. You know that pain. You are in solidarity with Mary on that point. That's for sure. But when you talk about love, we talk about love of family, we talk about the love of Jesus, we talk about all of that kind of stuff around love. You know, often we think that love is a feeling. I feel that I love you. I am in love with you. And then 10, 15, 20 years down the line, you roll over and you think, who in the world is this? What have I done? And you know what? Scary thing is your partner's thinking the same thing. This isn't the person I married. And you're not the person they married either. But you know, love isn't a feeling. Love is a choice. We can run on biology for a while, but there comes a point when every day you choose to love. Those of you that are parents. Mom. You just want to drown yourself in the river. Mom. Stop. Mom. You have to choose, right? You choose to love. Just because you wake up in the morning and you don't feel like going to work, it doesn't matter, fathers, does it? You put on your big boy pants and you go to work even if you don't feel like it. Because you choose to love. You choose to care for your families. You choose to put up with a boss that you can barely tolerate. Some of you are teachers. You go to that school, you go in that classroom, and you say, Lord, help me. But you choose to love. You choose to care. And I would present to you that you choose to do that because at some point along the line, you have met Jesus. That's the context in which you choose to love. Love is a choice. And just like the shepherds, you can hear the message of the angel to come to see Jesus, but you've got to choose to do it. You've got to choose the Christ. And you've got to choose the Christ in every situation that you're faced with. Love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. That's my second point. Eva, you ready for my third point? Taking notes? Here, no? Here it is. 2016, many of you felt your lives were falling apart. You had accidents and sicknesses and deaths and financial struggles and all the stuff that we do in our lives. I mean, there might be some of you hiding out there that said, oh, well, I don't know what the heck he's talking about. 2016 was a pretty good year for me. But as I have listened to us as a parish, it presented itself as a challenge for many of us. There are some of you that felt in 2016 your life was falling apart. What I present to you is maybe not. It might have been falling, but what if it was falling together, not falling apart? Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference, at least it is with me. Because what happens when you're falling? You're not in control, right? What do we want to be? We want to be in control. We want to know what the outcomes are going to be. We want to know what's going to happen. We want to be in control of this whole friggin' mess, and we're not. Parents, you know you're not in control. You ever tried to get your 2-year-old to eat peas? They're not going to do it. You got peas all over. You can't even control that. What makes us think that we can control our lives? Can't. But we can choose to love, and we can choose to follow the messages of God and come to Jesus. And then in faith, choose to believe that in the midst of this, that we're not in control, just maybe with God's presence and love and direction, our lives aren't falling apart, they're falling together. That's a faith stance. We have to choose to believe that. And that's where we choose to stand when we know that God is with us. Emmanuel. God is with us. That is God's role. God brings order. As I shared with Chris at Christmas, the Christmas Eve Mass, last time we were together, the very beginning of the scripture, God says, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God begins to bring order to the world. Then the last thing in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, "Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus." The last words of the scripture. Come, Lord Jesus. The first words of the scripture, let there be light. That's my prayer for 2017. That I allow myself to listen to the messages that come to me through you guys, through my family, through messengers that are sent to me by God, and that I come to see Jesus. And that I allow the light of God, and I choose the light of God in love, that begins to bring order into my life. And in faith to say, maybe it's not fallen apart. Maybe it's fallen together. And because of that, I then say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. That is my prayer for us in 2017. I pray that we be filled with the Holy Spirit. That we live as a spirit-filled people and community. That we bring all the needs that we have here to pray. That we bring them before the Lord. Bring them before His altar. And we trust and we know in God's goodness. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon us and remain forever.